Oh, mother's prayers have followed me. Wow. Boy, that isn't that true. Happy Mother's Day to all you ladies, every lady out there, whether you're a mother or not. We're so glad you're here today. God bless you for being here. The mother of my children didn't make it today. She has a very bad sinus headache and just couldn't make it. But Mother's Day, she loves Mother's Day. And she's actually probably a little ill because her children and her grandchildren are so far away. We've got them spread all over the place. We got one of our grandsons just left for Alaska, and he's spending the summer in Alaska fishing. But he wants to be a bush pilot because he's going to Laterno University in the fall, and they're going to teach him how to fly commercially. But anybody ever heard of that in Texas, Laterno? It's a long story. I won't tell you the whole story. Many of you probably know the story behind that university. It's a great, great story. But so thank you so much. And so take your Bibles this morning and turn to Proverbs chapter 31. You know, Mother's Day is one of the most celebrated holidays in the world. And I tried to look in to see which one it was, and it bumps between 2 and 3 a lot. Christmas, I think, is number one, but it's a great holiday. And in 1872, a woman by the name of Julia Ward Howell suggested that the United States should honor mothers on a special day. But it was Ann Jarvis that had a passion to honor mothers, especially mothers of those in the Civil War that had lost their sons. And so in 1914, President Woodrow Wilson made a proclamation that the second Sunday in May would be Mother's Day. What's sad about this is that Anna Jarvis was very upset because Mother's Day became very commercialized. And so she even filed a lawsuit in 1923 to stop the celebration. She thought that printed card was trite, that she thought that at least you could give your mother a handwritten letter. But I'm glad that lawsuit didn't win. In 1948, in a nursing home, Anna Jarvis said before she died, she said she wished that she had never worked so hard for a holiday to be so commercialized. Well, I'm glad that she worked hard, but it didn't work. More than just a Civil War, moms are ones that fight many wars for their children every day. Thank you, moms. Everybody here, guess what? Everybody here had a mom. Some of you I wonder about. No, I don't. I'm just kidding. I want to say happy Mother's Day to all of you, whether you are a mother or not. I know many of you had prayed and prayed to be a mom, and that just didn't happen. Some of you have lost children. It's a very mixed emotions day, up and down, all kinds of emotions, isn't it? Think about when you were a kid, your mom. I had some of the greatest grandmothers up in Pennsylvania. They were Dutch. Well, one of them was, anyway. But I just loved all the mother thing. Okay. So Proverbs 31, as we look into it this morning, we see that a mother that is teaching her son and a son that is honoring his mother here in Proverbs, and it's a shift away from good woman to a good mother, what they should be. And the chapter begins with a mother giving counsel to her son and the son saying, "Thank you." I want to give tribute to the mothers here in just a minute, and we're going to, instead of reading this passage, I'm going to go verse by verse through it. And I would just like all of the ladies here, all ladies, whether you're a mother or not, I'd like you, you know, if you can't stand, don't stand. But if you can stand, please stand. Guys, let's just give them a hand for all that they've done for us. Thank you so much. Thousands and thousands of hours. You may be seated. Thousands and thousands of hours of work for our moms. But let's pray before we begin this message. Lord Jesus, we think of your own mother, Lord, and what she must have faced and all the things that happened as you were born. But we're so thankful today for mothers and how they go to death's door to bring us to be. So Lord, I pray we honor moms today. You are the maker of all moms. And Lord, thank you for one of the greatest gifts that you've given to man is a mother. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can look in chapter 31. I want you to go to verse 10 first. And this passage is not here to make you feel bad or to make you feel guilty. You know, I tried not to do this message today on Proverbs 31 because it's one of the probably, there'll be hundreds of thousands of messages on this message today. And it's been done many, many, many times. But the Lord told me, he said, no, I want you to do this message today. And maybe you'll see why as we come to the end. But I didn't want you to feel guilty. You know, we think the Proverbs 31 woman, boy, how can you live up to that? I'm going to show you how at the end. We know if the father is the spiritual head of the home, the children come under their parents' authority as they should. So what does that make the mother? It makes the mother the heart of the home. The mother is the one that makes the home tick like a fine clock. A survey was taken of some boys a few years ago, and they said, who do you go to when you get in trouble? Well, 23% said they went to dad, and 77% went to mom. Me too. My dad had a big stick. If we were to read this passage from verse 10 on, we would find out that each of the verse starts with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet in order. It's as if the Holy Spirit is saying to us that all the way from A to Z, the mother is adequate for the home. I want us to concentrate this morning on the wonderful gifts and skills God has available for the woman that is surrendered to His will. So the first point this morning is the value of a mother's worth. A godly mother has value. Verse 10, look at verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman, literally, a wife of valor? In other words, she is not easy to find, but if you find her, you have been blessed beyond imagination. Because Proverbs 18, verse 22 says, who finds a wife finds a good thing. Pastor Fred Luter, no, Jim will remember who he is, former Southern Baptist president, he calls his wife his prime rib. He's an African-American, I think. But he's a wonderful guy. But his name is Fred Luter. But Dr. Tommy Nelson says, an expert on marriage, says to find the right woman, a life's mate, you start running after Jesus as fast as you can and you keep running toward Jesus and you keep focusing on the goal. The goal is Jesus. And if you look to the right or the left and there's no one there, you just keep on running. And one day, if you keep running long enough, you'll look to the right, and there'll be a woman there. And if she's running as hard as you are toward Jesus, you look at her, and you ask her, would you like to run together? You don't look back behind. I think that you can find some pretty girl and drag her along. No. See, beauty fades. It's true, but virtue never fades. Virtue speaks of quality, of moral quality and integrity. Who can find a woman today that does what's right instead of what is convenient? A woman that puts her family above her career. A woman that puts her vows above her ambition. But to find a godly woman, who can find one? A moral, pure, devoted wife who will be an asset to her family. A loyal, loving, committed mother. Look at verse 11. It speaks of her love. Verse 11, it says, the heart of her husband both safely trusts in her. You know, trust is a very precious jewel in marriage. Did you know that? If you break trust in a marriage, you will be doing damage control for the rest of your life. She has character. She has courage, verse 11. And verse 11 says, so that he shall have no need of spoil, no lack of gain. Her husband will have no reason to need. The Hebrew word there, spoil, means the spoils of victory over another foe. He will have all the bounty he needs. Solomon's trying to say here that there are two important decisions you're going to make as a young man. We don't have many there, but where's Christian? Is he here today? Yes. Others, I hope you're here this morning. Number one, the Lord you serve and the lady you marry, it speaks of love, it speaks of loyalty. Think about that, Christian. Look at verse 12. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. The word evil here deals with respect. She's an asset to him and she respects him. Is what Paul expressed in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she should reverence or respect her husband. Our job, men, is to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's unconditional love. If you don't love your wife the way God wants you to, how can they respect you? Mom, wife, you are to respect your husband. That's how you minister to him. The only other woman in the Bible that is called virtuous is Ruth, in Ruth chapter 3 and verse 11. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requestest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. You have character. You have moral fortitude. You have courage. It speaks of your love and your loyalty. You're a loyal wife. You're a loving wife, a loving mother. And that's the value of a mother's work. You can't pay enough to get that. Money won't buy that. Look at verse 13. Number two, it says, what is the virtue of mother's work? Verse 13 says, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. And the Bible says she willingly works. And it speaks of virtue, busy hands. It's the work of a wife that seems like her work is never, ever done. That's verse 11, indicates that she is dependable. The heart of her husband trusts in her. She's financially trustworthy. Her husband doesn't have to worry about her spending too much money. I'll get to that later. It means that he doesn't have to worry about the budget because she can't control the spending. It's not like the husband that is quick on the deposit and his wife is quicker on the withdrawal. Not that kind of woman. This woman is prudent and she's good mind. She has a good mind and she works fruitful in everything she does and she's dependable. In verse 12, look at verse 12, she's devoted. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life, and she's an asset and a positive influence in his life. For richer, for poorer, she stands by her man and she's devoted. And she doesn't say to him one day, you know, it's about time I start thinking about me. And it's about, I don't care about the kids anymore. I'm leaving. Verse 13 is the virtue of a mother's work. And it says, if you find this woman, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. And the word willingly there means delightful. She doesn't care for the family because she has to. She does it willingly. It's a delight for her to do that. It's not out of compulsion. It's a labor of love for her to serve. And it's a lot of labor. And it's a lot of love. You remember Ann Landers? Anybody here remember Ann Landers? I thought maybe some of you would. She said, she wrote this: moms are the chauffeur, a cook, a maid, a referee, a philosopher, a nurse, a hostess, a tutor, a psychologist, a coach, a teacher, a religious educator, a wife, and a mother. She was right. She wasn't right about a lot of things, so I didn't really care that much for Erin Landers. But she does it unto the Lord, and she's disciplined. Look at verse 14. She brings her food from afar. Well, what does that mean? She's like a merchant ship. They have to sail in bad weather. They got to go and they got to go. And they don't always do things because it's convenient. She brings her food from afar. That means that she starts early in her day. I heard about a husband that his wife hadn't fixed breakfast for quite some time. He walked in and he said, Hey, where's my hot breakfast? And she said, set your cornflakes on fire. Have you ever said that, ladies? Anybody? Oh, I know you have. Verse 15. And giveth meat to her household and a portion of her maidens, maidservants. And Pastor, did you say servants? You have to stay with the text here. Now look, be careful. The servants weren't fixing her meals while she laid in bed. No. She prepares a portion for her maidservants. Got to read the scripture. The Amplified Bible says, she rises when it is night, and she gets spiritual and material food, meeting with her God to get spiritual food for her household. A woman that is of value, of courage, of character, of worth, and of wisdom, gets up early in the morning to meet with God. My wife's sick and not here, and I want to honor her. I think you should give honor to whom honor's due. And I've already told you that she used to get up early in the morning, but she did it for a very long time and still does a lot of praying for her family and for people. But many, many times, I would get out of bed thinking I was getting up way too early and complaining at 6 o'clock or whatever, and she was already up praying. You know, when I was 25 years old, I went to the altar with another, actually my business partner and I, we owned a body shop. We were just kids, didn't know what we were doing. But we went into Gunpowder Baptist Church, a real explosive church down there in Gunpowder Falls. And we got on our knees and we were praying, and I felt the Lord called me to preach. So I went home that day and I was riding home. I said, Sharon, I think God's calling me to preach. She says, you're not ready yet. She didn't say I wasn't called. She just said, you're not ready yet. She knew me better than I knew me. So, you know, you men out there, most of you out there have probably got a wife that's much more spiritual than you. God does that many, many times. But he did it in my life, so. She knows her family needs physical food, but she also knows her family needs spiritual food. She knows the day will require wisdom, needs that come to her from her family. She knows she needs to meet with God to provide the wisdom that is needed for her family, for her children. You know, Susan Wesley, she had 15 children. Can you imagine that? 15. And when they saw her with her skirt over her head, sitting in a chair, they were to leave her alone. In the middle of all the chaos, she was praying. And she was reading her Bible. She had no room to go to. Mom, do you have a time that you meet with the Lord? She has worth. She has work. She has worship. Look at verse 16. It says, she considereth a field and buy it. She is industrious in helping support the family. She's willing with her husband's blessing to the call of God to try to make a profit for the family. Pastor, you know women aren't supposed to work outside the home. You know, I have to tell you a little story. I'm going to go longer today, but my wife and I, when we first had our first church child, we sat down together and I said, we're going to try to, you're going to stay home. And I'm going to try to make it. Well, that was a, we did fairly well. She probably worked part-time for about 8 years, but it's hard to make it. Even back, way back then, that was way back, but today. So don't be hard on the ladies that have a career or have working. See, you have to consider the call of God in your life, and you have to consider your husband and the blessings on what you do. See, things, if we would, we'd have to, how many Christian women would we have to fire in the churches that we have that are working as administrators and some as, you know, children's pastors and stuff like that? Think about it. Thank God women can do more than, they're multitaskers. Many of you out there, you know that. You can, most of us men, we can't even dribble a basketball, much less do a, you know, juggle four or five balls at one time. You have to seek the mind of God and the Word of God, and you have to consider your age and the journey that God has you on. But there's not just one stock answer to that question. But this godly woman worked here in 31, and she was disciplined about it, and she was diligent about it, and she was dependable in her character, and she was devoted and delightful. Look at verse 17. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengthened her arms. Was she a bodybuilder? No. That's not what it means. It means that she took care of herself. She didn't just have financial wisdom or spiritual wisdom. She had physical wisdom as well. She knows her family needs her to be at her very best. Look at verse 18. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, and her candle goeth not out by night. What does that mean? It means that she is discerning, and she knows how to not only stretch a buck, she knows how to manage her time. She's not materialistic. She's discerning. She has value. She has virtue. Look at verse 19. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. And the distaff is the part by the spindle, and she holds on to that, and she's working. Look at verse 20. And she reaches out to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. The same hands that make the clothes, wipe the runny nose, bake the goods that you eat. And the same hands that feed the poor. And she's diverse. There's an old saying, a man's work is never done, son to son. But a woman's work is never done. That's so true. Someone said a mother's best way to get attention is to sit down and look comfortable. Well, that's so true. I think about it. My aunts, I think about all the different things as a kid running around. They never sat down. Especially when company was there. All those kids were running around making mischief, and they never had a minute to sit down. And when the day was over, whew, were they tired. A lot of truth. She not only ministers to their family, but they minister through their family. Not self-seeking. Look at verse 21 and verse 22. It says, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Verse 22, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Got to get a new color there. Moms make sure you are not cold in winter and that you're not hot in summer, and they want to make you comfortable. I can remember my mom always checking me before I went out the door. Got your jacket, got your sweater? Put it on. I'll help you. And she didn't just take care of her children. She takes care of herself. And we weren't rich when we grew up. And my mom knew how to sew a patch on your pants. And I got hand-me-downs when I was a kid and from my brother. And I had a rich cousin. I liked his clothes. They were really nice. He didn't get them at McCrory's 5 and 10. He went to Shepherd's department store. I lived on a dirt road in a grapefruit grove until I was 8 years old. None of my neighbors looked rich either. But my mother made sure when we walked out the house that we were clean and that we had clean clothes. We looked the best that we could. In fact, I used to hate she'd buy these white shoes to go to church on Easter. I didn't like that. My mom, when she left to go somewhere, she worked hard and she always looked her best, especially when we went to church. Do you know God expects you to take care of yourself? Let me give you, Mom, some help here, you know. You're not to look like a beauty queen. But look at verse 22, it says, "And she maketh herself fine clothing and tapestry and silk." You need to take care of yourself as well. See, if Mom ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. If Mom ain't healthy, it's rough. Verse 23, "Her husband is known in the gates, and when he sitteth among the elders of the land," verse 24, "she maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant." Verse 25, "Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come." She's discreet. And she's dignified. And she has something to do with her husband's success. Her husband is known in the gate, it says. He has something to do with his reputation. See, men, your wife can be the wind in your sail or the water on your fire, one or the other. Verse 24, she hates idleness. She's not home watching as the world turns, the supper burns. She's not watching "All My Children Are Bums" or "The Edge of Nausea." Strength and honor are her clothing. Honor means she is dignified. Verse 26 says she is discreet. She has wisdom. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is a law of kindness. She has wisdom as she works. She also has gracious words on her tongue. And the law of kindness. See, you don't expect swear words with that type of a virtuous woman. I can honestly say that my mother was not perfect, far from it, but I never heard her say a curse word. She has dignity. She has poise. You know what Napoleon said? He was asked, "What can be done for the prestige of France now that everything that's after they had lost and things were not doing well?" And he said, "Give us better mothers. We need better mothers." Moms, no one really knows what it's like to be you with all the grace that God gives you. At times you feel inferior. You're not up to what you think God expects of you. You aren't as good as you want to be. But we want to honor you today because you have value and you have virtue. As we begin to close, we see the victory here. She doesn't work. Look at verse 25. She rejoices in time to come. Verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praiseth her. Dads, we take many times our wives for granted. And I'm guilty of that. I confess today. They do so much. See, everyone needs to be encouraged, especially when they deserve it. Give honor to whom honor is due. See, it's friends or strangers can give you compliments, but no greater praise comes from that, from someone in your home, because they have to live with you. Let me tell you, sir, your wife may be very successful out in the business world, but nothing her boss can say will be as heavy or weigh as heavy as you telling her, "Sugar, you're the best." Look at verse 29. And this is the last point, the voice for a mother's work. Verse 29, we find appreciation. Many daughters have done virtually, but thou excellest them all. Honey, you're the best. There are a lot of good wives and moms, but you are the best. Verse 30, there's adoration. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised. And finally, there's anticipation in verse 31, the last verse. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Do you know what Solomon's saying? He's saying, let me tell you about my mom. She's something special. She's very, very special. Now my question is, who is Solomon's mom? Somebody tell me. Anybody know? Okay. His name was King Lemuel. It's in verse 1. The Jewish Talmud says that Lemuel was one of the names used often and referred to King Solomon. Question, who's King Solomon's mother? Bathsheba. A little checkered past, wouldn't you say? Will you remember the sordid affair and the murder of her husband and the lies, and David ended up marrying her? Look at verse 1. The prophecy of that his mother taught him. Verse 2. What my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows. Give not thy strength unto women. This is Bathsheba speaking to her son. Nor thy ways, that which destroyeth kings. She knew how kings got destroyed. The words of Bathsheba. We judge Bathsheba, but to me this is another beautiful picture of God's grace and God's power to change people. Because we don't know how kind of a fight she put up. She had little choice. He was the king. But something happened to Bathsheba. From then till Solomon wrote this prophecy that his mother taught him, something happened to Bathsheba. Look in verse 2. It says, son of my vows. She made some vows to God. The Proverbs 31 woman is the woman no one wanted to name their daughter after. She turns out to be the Proverbs 31 woman. You moms that have been out there, grandmoms out there thinking, boy, I don't want to hear this sermon. She's too perfect. No, she wasn't perfect. But she submitted to God. Something happened. You want to be a better mom, a godly mom, a godly grandmother? You can say to the Lord this morning, oh Lord, I haven't always been the best mom or the best grandma. I promise you, Lord, if you'll give me grace, Jesus, if you give me forgiveness, I vow to you, I'll be the best mom, the best grandma I can be. That's what Bathsheba did. And I can prove it because it's the word of God right here. Solomon recorded it to bring honor to his mother. It's not how you start out, ladies. It's how you finish. See, that's my job right now. I want to finish well. I don't have much time left. And that's why I'm here this morning. I want to finish well. Let's finish well together. Let's do that. You have a glowing witness. You have a grand wardrobe, Mom. Most of all, you have glorious worship. I've seen you meeting with God. In a day when women are not held in the greatest esteem in our culture, maybe as you heard, these character traits this morning, you thought, I may not be doing the best job in all these areas, but I want to. I really do. See, just like Bathsheba, I bet she was surprised to see what Solomon really thought of her. And one day when you go to glory, God will reveal all things. And the Bible says you will know what your kids really thought of you. Solomon's prophecy taught to him by his mother, what will they remember about mom or grandma? Will they remember all the sacrifices? Do they remember the times you took them to church when you were feeling bad? When dad couldn't come, he was out of town? What I am spiritually has a lot to do with my mom and my dad. That's why the family is so important in our world and our country today. And the family has been under attack. And we need to be the best dads and the best moms we can be. Amen? Musicians, if you'd please come. We're going to sing As the Deer. And then I'm going to pray. But thank you, moms, for coming. Thank you for all that you've done. We can never thank you enough.